World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, folks, good morning. Good morning. Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. 12 degrees here in Ohio. Groundhog Day. Punxsutawney Phil, he's about 300 miles away from me. Oh, man, I hope he doesn't see a shadow. I don't want him to see a shadow, right? I want it to get warmer. But either way, we're gonna make it. We're halfway through, baby. Halfway through winter. And, man, it's just, you know, Michelle and I got back from our cruise, which is really, really relaxing. And then you come back to all this stuff on your desk and all these things you have to do. And I've got one of those weekends ahead. I just got a lot of stuff stacked up in front of me. Brother Dale Sosh is down in Arkansas, Operation Save America regional events down there, leadership event. Actually, I always go to that. I couldn't be down there. I have to do an ordination on Sunday. I've got I just believe me, a lot going on. It's all good. Want to talk about some of that real quick? I see Kevin Van Story's in here with us. Kevin, we're going to be out at Neosho. Although you keep them, Kevin, you keep messing everybody up. They don't know whether it's Neosho or some other town. And I try to get them to say, well, they're kind of connected to two little small towns. But coming to do a boot camp out in Neosho, Missouri. Did I say Wisconsin? Neosho, Missouri, out by Joplin. Next weekend. All right, Kevin, is it next weekend? Time goes so
fast.
Yes,
sir. We're going to start.
All right,
next
brother.
Weekend. Starting Friday evening and Saturday and Sunday.
We're going to come in Friday evening. Here's what we do. Tend to do one of our boot camps. We come in on Friday evening. We do an opening presentation, whatever. And then on Saturday morning, we'll get you out on the streets. And that's what scares people. That's why they don't, you know, they do everything they can to avoid that. And we'll make it very mild, very easy to get you out on the street, let a bit of hair grow on your chest for the first time. Saturday afternoon, we'll do a little bit of we'll eat some food. We'll do a little bit of a debriefing, another training session. And then Sunday morning, we're going to, have the opportunity to speak at the church. So you can, you know, if you just want to stay on to Saturday and go home Saturday, you can do that. Jared will put that up on the screen here for us, I'm sure. That's going to be in Neosho, Missouri next weekend, which is, God, is that right? Is that the 9th and the 10th? Is that what that is? I think so. And then we're going to be heading, Jiminy. There. Thanks, Jared, for getting that up. Wait, I just got to touch base. I just got to do this, folks. Carterville, Missouri is what he's calling it, but, you know, it is what it is. I want to talk about two things that I think are really important. Number one, the Hear the Watchman events in Dallas on March 23rd. That'll be here before we know it. Now, once again, I look down here. Do we not? See, we don't even have, shame on us, me. We don't have, again, the Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Expo event up on our website, I don't think, do we? Daggone it. We got to get that on there. Where is it? There, it's Hear the Watchman. Anyway, we got a lot going on. Hey, guys, listen, if you're out there in the hinterland somewhere, you ought to try to get to Hear the Watchman event. You just ought to, for the fellowship. You're going to run into like-minded people just like you have here on the queue. You're going to run into them. Iron sharpens an iron. That's down in Dallas on March 22 through 25th. And if you're out there listening and you in any way, if you went down and helped in the hurricane relief, no, yeah, it was hurricane, the flood down there in Houston area, Port Arthur, if you went and helped, your ticket's free. You just got to let us know that you're coming. You got to pay for your hotel and all that kind of stuff. But Mike at the Hear the Watchman's making that free if you went and helped. And if you didn't, get down there anyway and get some fellowship. And we're doing an Occupy Till He Comes conference here on April 20th. We got to start amping that promotion up a little bit. Hagman are coming. Russ Dizdar is coming. L.A. Marzulli's coming. Mike Spalding's coming. I'm going to forget somebody. Mark Trump's coming. Good stuff, man. We're doing it right here in Ohio. I don't like that that advertisement we have on it, because people are holding hands looking out over the water. It looks like it's a sissy fight thing. We're going to war, man. Occupy till I return. That thing's right there too. So I want to make sure I threw those in there. Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian News event is, golly, I got to get a calendar in front of me. Find that for me, Jared. Shame on. Let's get that up. Let's get that up on the website. That's in Mar. There it is. Thanks, man. That's March 9th and 10th. So that's only a month away. And if you're up in the Wisconsin area, you want to come be part of that. That's free. If the theme of that is Courageous Christianity, as you see on your screen, Pastor Bill Dunphy, Bill Federer. If you've never heard of Bill Federer, that former LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ David Arthur's going to be there, and Flip Benham's going to be there, and Rusty Time. I'm telling you, man, this is good stuff. Okay, so now I got you all caught up here. This is a Flea Flicker Friday. I always have some stuff I want to flick out on the table. And I got a scripture in here. I got to just throw this out because it's eating. I mean, I got a great video for you to look at that too. Do I want to do that now, Lord? Is that what I want to do? No, I'm going to put that in my pocket. I want you to turn today to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Because I hear from a lot of people. Okay, I'm going to say it, Lord. I'll say it. I heard you. Listen. Coach, be nice. Okay, I will. Some of you got to quit sucking on your thumb. Quit sucking on your thumb. By that, I mean some of the stuff that, some of the emails and some of the stuff I get, somebody disagrees with this, you didn't do this. Listen, this isn't a place where we come and we lay out a doctrine and you have to believe the doctrine. And if we happen to say something that you disagree with, just be a big boy. Just be a big boy and say, you know what, I don't agree with that. Let's move on.
Amen.
Because divisions come from people's own pet doctrines. That's what causes the division. And I hear it, and people are friends with me one day and not friends with me the other day. And I don't care. I mean, that's not what motivates me to do what I do. But come on here, let's grow up a little bit, all right? Eat some of the grapes and eat some of the Brussels sprouts. Eat a little bit of both of them. It's not going to kill you. Because your belief system is what matters. It's what you end up believing. Not what you hear, but what you believe. So understand that when you hear something that tastes a little bit funny, maybe it's because you never chewed on that before. You never tasted that before. And you might want to spit it out. So I'm going to tell you something. You ain't always right. And I never claim to be always right. I try to come, cut it up, lay it on the table, say, what do you think? So do me a favor, man. Just do me a favor. Suck it up a little bit. What's that political term? Reach across the aisle. Come on here, man. It's all good. It's all good.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know about that reach across the aisle, because we know those are devils on both sides. But I will use the analogy of a marriage. I've been married 25 years. I know you've been married 30-something years. We don't agree with our wives on everything, and our wives don't agree with us. But we don't separate ourselves from the fellowship.
We don't go to war over it, brother. That's for sure. We certainly don't go to war over it. And so that's what I'm saying out there. You don't listen. You don't have to be my twin to be my brother. Stop picking on each other. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it, man. Come on, boys. Can't win a football game like that. And, you know, by the way, that is the whole thing. That's why this book here. I'm going to tell you again. Pagan Christianity.
You must be hearing more than we are, because we really feel, at least I feel, a lot of unity in this queue.
I'm not hearing from the guys in the queue. I'm not hearing from the guys in the queue. We got a lot of listeners. We got a lot of listeners, right? They're not in here.
Right.
Some of them have been drugged. Some have been drug in by their wives. Some have been drug in by other people. You know, I try to tell them this isn't for everybody. It isn't for everybody. So I'm not talking to the guys in the queue. We're even allowed to have fist fights if we want to. We're allowed to do that. But man, oh man, let's cut each other right. So somebody said something to me the other day, and it reminded me of Philippians. So I want you to go to Philippians 4. Is that where I am? Yep. Hey guys, can I brag a minute? It's not brag. It's an encouragement, and it's a I just want to encourage you, those of you who began today, really, I don't know if you know this, you're halfway through your second day of the fast, whatever the fast is that you've chosen to do. And you will, if you continue on, listen, hey, guys, it's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. I hear people say, well, I'm starving. Well, you'll be all right. You'll be okay. It's supposed to cause you a little bit of pain. It's supposed to humble you. So if you're fasting Coca-Cola and you never drink Coca-Cola, but that's not a fast. It's got to be something that is somewhat of a sacrifice for you. Now, he's not asking you to lay prostrate on the floor and go around. In fact, the Bible says that when you fast, wash your face and shave and don't let everybody know you're doing it. Have a good attitude, be positive about it, and let the Lord do something inside you. He's doing things, as I use that illustration, teaching a bench press, teaching you to do curls, spiritual curls. That's what he's teaching you to do. So be encouraged by that. And I just want you to know this. First 3 days, whatever the fast you're doing, the first 3 days are always harder because you got a lot of flesh that you got to fight through, a lot of it. But I'm here to encourage you today that I'm almost through my second day already. And I'm telling you, the grace of the Holy Spirit has already fallen on me. I can't explain it. And it'll fall upon you too. But see, you got to push through where you've always been, right? You got to go deeper. And so sometimes going deeper means you got to dig a little bit, right? You got to dig and it gets hard and it gets dirty and you don't really want to do it and you want to give up. But dig through, keep digging. Because when you get down in there, you hit a grace spot. But if the Holy Spirit's called you on it and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, the grace is going to come. It doesn't mean that you're not hungry. It doesn't mean that you're not tempted, but you have the ability to say no to it. I'm already there. Isn't that great? I'm already there. I'm excited about it. So I want to encourage you. But people saying to me that, Coach, I come on your show. We need to be encouraged, Coach. We need to be encouraged. Not so much doom and gloom. Listen, I get a lot of different emails, okay? And they're all on these types of subjects. And this is what I'm trying to get you to say. First of all, the truth sometimes is depressing, all right? Sometimes it is. You look what's going on around there, and Mark Trump gets us into that AI and what's going on there. And I watched a thing yesterday. Oh, my goodness. On the pool shifts. There's not just a lot of things that you can focus on. And so I was thinking of this morning as I was coming down here. The Lord gave me this. I'm in Philippians 4. Are you there with me? Joe, are you with us today?
Yeah.
All right, Joe, go to Philippians 4, verse 1. Hey, fellas, this is the bread, baby. This is the bread. And you got to eat this thing. When you're on your fast, whatever that fast is, maybe it's not food, maybe it's TV, maybe it's Rush Limbaugh. When you're on that fast, you got to eat stuff. You got to eat it. You got to eat, you got to pray. And you're not trying to get brownie points with the Lord. You're trying to get the Lord to get brownie points with you. He's trying to change you. The Lord's trying wants to change you. Holy Spirit does. So understand that. Feed the word and give yourself a chance. Joe, Philippians 4, verse 1. Let's dive in here because I just want to show you here what Paul has to say. Go ahead, Joe.
Here we go. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy.
Hang on. He ain't talking to all the world. He's not talking to the world. Remember, the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're written to the world. The epistles are written to the called out ones, to the already saved, the already converted. Don't ever forget that. And who's he talking to here? My brothers, dearly beloved, my joy long for my joy and my crown. All right. He's talking to believers. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly
what?
Beloved.
Do what?
Stand
fast. I'll shut up. What must be a tendency to want to sit down or fall down. If he tells you to stand fast, he must be saying, lock yourself in. Come on, lock yourself in here, boys. I'll shut up. Go ahead, Joe.
I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord.
Oh, agreement, brothers. That's what I was talking about. We don't have to be twins, but we got to be on the same sheet of music anyway.
and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow.
Oh,
help
man,
those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
Time out a minute. What does it mean to labor? I'm waiting for a response. What does it mean to labor?
Work.
To work.
Work.
To work. Look, he says it twice. What's a yoke fellow? Well, a yoke fellow, I would imagine it comes from the idea of two oxen putting a yoke, and they're yoke fellows. They're yoked up to the same thing. So we have right here the very clear picture of working. Church says there's no works. Paul says works. Works, yoke fellow, huh? A fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Again, not written to everybody, written to believers. Go ahead, Joe.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice.
I do that, baby. I do that when I read about the deep state. I do that when I get a broken vehicle bill. I rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't say rejoice when it's good. Rejoice in the Lord always. Keep going.
Amen, amen.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
What's that mean? At hand means imminent. The Lord is available. He is always right there to be your sustenance and your supplier. He's always at hand. So therefore, let your moderation be known to all men, meaning what? Boy, that guy's so, he doesn't waver. That guy's strong in his faith. Moderate doesn't mean get along with everybody. Your moderation, man, your engine runs smooth. They can hardly hear it. But they ought to be talking about you as a believer. Man, that dude never wavers. Go ahead.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Better stop right there. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean don't be careful. It means quit worrying. Instead of worrying in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With what? With prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. No matter what the situation is. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What happens when you do that, Joe? Verse 7.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Now, I'm sorry to keep breaking in. Do you get the significance of this? Do you get the significance of what he just said there? It will keep your heart and your mind. See, that's where the battle is. It's in your mind and it's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And you wash your mind with the water of the word. And what does he say? With prayer and thanks and supplication, thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding is going to fill your heart and your mind. That's walking out the faith. Go ahead.
Finally, wow. Brethren, whatsoever.
Here. Now, this doesn't mean ignore stuff. But this is where I wanted to go today. Go ahead.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. So you look out, you survey everything that's going on, say, man, what a mess. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. No. You look out there and see what a mess. And finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, find something good in the midst of all of that. Focus on that because you've already prayed with all prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and God is now guarding your heart and he's guarding your mind. And so you see everything that's going on, but brothers and sisters, don't think negatively on it. Don't let it trouble you. Don't let it worry you, because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart. That's the message that I want you all to get out of the show. That you look at what's going on, your car breaks down and you have peace in it. Your child is astray, but you have peace in it. Think on these things. Don't lay in your, when you got your wayward child, don't lay in your bed at night and worry what your wayward child's doing tonight. Whatever things are pure and holy, think on those things about your wayward child and woo and draw into the spirit and draw your wayward child back. Whatever it is, whatever injury, whatever sickness, don't focus on that. That's what this is saying. Not that it's not there, but don't focus on it. Quit focusing on it. Think of good things and pure things and holy things and righteous things. Think on these things. And what'll happen? If there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, and these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do! Do! It's an action thing. It's an action thing. And what happens then? The God of peace. I'll be with you. Amen. So that's our... That's our Bible lesson, I guess, for today. I bring that to you because recognize what's going on and have a peace in your heart, man. Have a peace in your heart and know that the Lord's equipped you to do, to go, and to speak. And jump in here, somebody.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach. That's fasting, right? I mean, that's it allows you to, if you're a glutton, I'm a glutton. If you're a glutton, then you can't focus on those things which are true, good, holy, unless you fast. That's what I'm learning right now.
That's right. It takes your mind off of the natural fleshly stuff that you do that you don't even recognize you do. Like right now, if some of you are actually on a food fast, you probably are already in almost 2 days shocked at how often you think about food and how often you go and grab something to eat. You don't even think about it. You walk by and you grab a cookie, you walk by, you don't even think about it. When you're on a fast, you're not eating food, you think about it all the time. That's the training. See, that's the training of your spirit man to take power over your physical man, a humbling, and let the provision of God come upon you. So, yeah, Jared, that's what I'm saying, and that grace has already fallen upon me. Why is that grace already fallen upon me? Can I tell you why? Because I'm used to benching 225. I'm used to doing it. So as soon as it kicked in, I can get through that. I've already done that. And some of you guys down there, you're doing this because you ain't never done it. Push through it. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard.
Today,
it's training. There'll be strength on the other end of it. Yes, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I believe that we are called to be embedded in the culture. We need to be aware of what is going on. We need to be in there in the fight. But I also believe it can be kind of negative. Sure, it can be challenging sometimes.
Of course it is, yeah.
But this scripture, as is other scripture, is what allows us to go into the fight and not be discouraged. But the problem is so few people on a regular basis are getting the ammunition to be in the fight.
Amen. Not being trained.
I think for me, what works, my little testimony is the show at times. Your show's negative at times, but I don't care. And negative is not the right word. It's factual. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Possibility, yeah, individually, as does the show, to balance, get into his word, read these sections, adore our God, glorify him, thank
Amen.
Him. But it's not.
Yeah,
not
I think.
Go ahead, Mark.
To carry on Roger's thought, I think that the show reveals things in a way that we can go validate them ourselves, and that encourages our beliefs. Whereas, you know, some of the things I bring about are like the tools. It's how can these technology things, you know, nuclear medicine, nuclear bombs, you know, how are they tailoring technology? How could it be used? You got drones, but they're strapped in grenades on, and they're dropping grenades from drones. I mean, these are makeshift.
Mark, I watched the video. I watched the video last night that I got to get to you, Mark, and it showed folks. I think about this a minute. They are planning right now to hack the human brain. I mean, these guys are nuts, right? They're crazy, but the enemy, that is what they are planning to do. And I'm watching the guy who's making the presentation. It's from Rick Wiles. I can't remember who sent it to me from True News. It's unbelievable. These guys are talking about having the logarithms, whatever the heck that means, data, which is what Mark talks about all the time, having the data to actually go in and hack your brain.
Yeah, it's beyond that. So your brain, if you just take it one step, is connected to all your nervous system. So what they want is to have a device that they implant in your arm or shoulder or hand or whatever, but it's actually reading your brain. It's actually reading and decoding your decision making so that those decisions, even your eye movement, and it'll take in your auditory response, and it'll collect all that data and send it with your decision. And then you'll immediately in real time be presented with advertising that's associated with your decision.
Mark, it was even beyond that, Mark. I'm watching this guy. He said, of course, the guy making the presentation, of course, says he's a homosexual. Right? He announces him. He said,
that's Harari. Professor Harari.
Yeah, I said, I struggled with it for a while and went through, and then finally just admitted who I am. And he said, now when we get be able to impact the brain and hack the brain, well, we'll help a young child at age 2 be able to figure out that he's homosexual. I'm thinking, this is so demonic. This is so demonic. But hey, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are holy, whatever things are of a good report, this doesn't mean you can't ignore it. You can't ignore the growth on your arm. You can't ignore it.
See, they've already got the brain decoded. The piece they're missing that they can detect your brain activity. So they've already really hacked the brain. They can connect to it and do all this stuff, but they can't do it wirelessly. And they can't do it for a population. That's the next step, is to do it for the population.
And hey, Mark, let me say this too. See, folks, here's why America is so important. We're so far ahead of the rest of the world. You think they're worried about hacking brains in Africa? You really think so? They're worried about that? They're worried about hacking brains in the Sudan? No, they have to get our minds. Remember, Jesus reminded us to, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. See, the devil is trying to renew your mind. The devil's trying to pollute your mind. The devil is always trying to counterfeit what it is the Lord is trying to do. And so the enemy understands that the good old U.S. of A, with its still some semblance of Christianity, they are on full bore attack against us. Because if they can control us, they can control the world. Can't we see this? Now, I'm going to say this too. This book right here, boys and girls, right here. I hate to bust your bubble, but this book here is written about the world. It ain't written about heaven. It's about the world. It's about what's going on in the world. So when you read this book here, you ought to be thinking about worldly things, because this is where it's playing out for us. You're going to die someday and you're going to pass into a new realm. But it's terrible to me to think you lived your whole earthly existence waiting to die. Is that what the Lord wants you to do? And whatever, always just thinking about the great by and by. Is that really what it is? And see, that's what's happened to us in our Christianity. We say, well, Lord, coach, this, well, this world is my home. We're just passing through. Well, Michelle and I just passed through Cozumel, Mexico. And we enjoyed the sights when we were there. We bought some souvenirs. We jumped in the water. We didn't just stand there and say, we're just passing through. We participated in Cozumel. And then we left. And I'm not in Cozumel anymore. Well, that's this earthly realm. This book talks about earthly things. It says don't focus on them, but it doesn't say ignore them. This entire book is teaching you how to live spiritually in a natural world. That's what the whole book's about.
Hey, Coach.
You won't ignore it. Yeah.
I was in like a really secular bookstore about 3 weeks ago, and I found the section that had spiritual work, C.S. Lewis, all of that, and of course it was, they called it like the spiritual mythology and conspiracy section, right? I mean, there was every Bible, every spiritual work under the sun for every religion. And a lot of Christians would probably walk in there and be really offended. They would take great offense to that because it wasn't like your normal Christian bookstore at all. But
right.
I thought it was, to me, it was the most honest representation of what we should be focusing on, because there was all this, all your Bibles were there, all these spiritual works by people that I would say I respect. But then there were books on conspiracy and what the government's doing and what the government has been doing and different religions and demonology. And how many Christians would be offended by something like that? And then how many would walk in there and go, this is where it's at, man. We have the tools here, like you said, the Bible, to look at the world. And then there's everything else that we should be looking at and all these other truths that we should be looking at.
The devil's game plan's right there for us, isn't it, Dylan?
Yeah.
All those books are telling us the devil's game plan. Why? Because the battle's here, see? The battle's here.
Hey, Coach. When,
great observation, Dylan. When we die, guys, hey, boom, it's over, man. You're out of here. You're out of here. And you mean to tell me your whole existence was just to be sitting here, get ready to go there? I just don't believe that's what the scriptures teach. Go, Serge.
I was just wondering, after I sent you that video, I was just curious. Do you think God is going to allow them to be able to hack true Christians?
No.
Okay.
No, but I would say this, Serge. They're going to kill a lot of true Christians.
Oh, yeah.
you can count on that, baby.
Huh? I can't wait for that because I'm ready for it.
Yeah, with this whole Mark of the Beast thing, right?
Yeah.
And listen, you understand it's going to come by force, right? And that Trump ain't going to make America that great, okay? There are evil forces that are at work. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
It could be as simple, and this is a true concern, Serge. Good question. And it could be as simple as a new baby that's born. Instead of getting just a footprint, he gets chipped. It's just law. Mm-hmm. It just happens.
Yep.
So that's in the future. Now, what about all of us, right? How do we get chipped? Well, that's where smart pills and flu shots and nanotechnology could easily come in, right? Now, we don't know how or why. I mean, I know for a fact that I'm not going to rely on the government to tell me. They don't tell us anything else. So you don't know when or when it could have already happened.
Not true. Right? It's not true.
Yeah.
Whatever things are true. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that the first thing it says there? Whatever thing, where am I? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true.
Yeah, so we all have to be watchmen in our own ways. We have families, and that's really out of this whole awakening since the Watchmen conference up in Boise last year. I've just woken up. I've seen things around me that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. And it's a big wake-up process. I mean, for real, wake up America. I mean, that's what we're doing.
So what you got to do, you really want to get an impact, man. You get up in an airplane and you look down and you realize how insignificant you are, man. You think you're important because it's your life and it's the only one that you have and you're living that life to the fullest, whether it be spiritually, morally, whatever it is. But you ain't nothing, man. You're just a speck. You're just a speck of dust with the spirit of Almighty God inside of you. And the only reason you're important is because you think you are. Despite what the Bible's trying to tell us, despite what all of our pastors are trying to tell us about self-esteem and your best life now and all that stuff, but baby, I'm telling you, you ain't nothing. It says in the book of Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that they visited him. Said, Lord, what is it? Why would you even communicate with me? What is it? And then we see men get puffed up in pride over spiritual things, and oh my goodness, my goodness. Now, we can all have great impact. One man can, in fact, make a difference, but you can only make a difference with the breath of God upon you, or the breath of the evil one, or the breath of circumstances. We don't really know what that is, but this idea that you're better than somebody else, or I'm better than somebody else, or I'm smarter and you're dumber. Nah, see, that's religion. That's what they gave you. That's why so many men are sitting around on their butts not knowing what to do with their faith because nobody ever told them they're supposed to use it. You Amen. Live here. You live here and now. And Amen. If you die, you're going to live someplace else. You're going to burn or you're going to live someplace else. And you're only passing through here once. Why do Christians want to ignore all the scenery and all the impact it could have? If you're going to go to heaven and you know you're going to go to heaven, why are you so afraid of dying? What are you so worried about? I mean, it's about programming taking place in it. Program. Somebody tried to jump in. I walked on the internet. Go ahead.
Well, I guess I got a thought, Dave, and that's like we're all a part of the body of Christ. We all have different skills. We all have different backgrounds. So if you think about it, would you want to be a thumb? Would you want to be a thumb? You know, you could be a heart. You could be a foot. You could be a, you know, but think about it. What would the other four fingers on that hand do without a thumb? Picture your hand without a thumb. You know what people do? They move their index finger so they have an opposing finger. That's what they do.
Right.
So we are all a part of it, and then the sooner we reach what God's gifts are in us, and we just let Him lead the way. And that's what I've had to do here, coming back to security, something I hate. It's crap. I've had to come back to it, but it's what God has for me. You know, and He's chasing me back to here. So, guys, just be very, very comfortable in your relationship with Him, and figure it is out what that you can contribute. And then, most importantly, is do it. Get off the bench and go do something, right? And that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, because Mark, you know, we plan and we plan. And we have no control over our plans. I may not be here next week. And worrying about whether to get Bitcoin or silver or what to do with it. What am I going to do with my retirement? I may not even be here next week, right? I mean, those things are okay. You have to be wise, and they're okay. But come on, man. That isn't what it's about. Tomorrow is promised to no man. And if we really, really understood that, and if we could, here's the sad part. Too bad we couldn't die and then come back. Because if we were to die and come back, we would see everything so much differently than what we do. Now, I use the illustration. It's like a baby inside the mother's womb. If you ask that baby, excuse me, inside the mother's womb, if it wants to come out, it'd probably say no. It's perfectly warm in here. I got my thumb to suck on. I'm fed. Everything's just perfect. I don't need to come out of here. And then, boom, something violent happens, and the baby comes out and goes, wow! And sees an entirely whole different world. That's what death's going to be like. I think we're going to die, and it's going to be, wow!
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coming from someone who died I got to say, death is highly liberating under freedom, and I recommend it for everyone.
Everybody's going to go there anyway, right? Everybody's got to go there.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Just, I'm bursting over here, you know, talking about Timothy, you know, whatever's good, whatever's pure, whatever's true, whatever's right, set your mind upon these things. Psalm says this, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Whatever you focus on, it's like putting it under a magnifying glass. No matter how small, it becomes huge. Right, when you're talking about flying around in a plane, let me tell you what, that's God's eye perspective. So how big are those things really to God? And with the AG, we think about it. Jesus, and Paul writes, he says, renew your mind in Christ. Listen, I'm either wired for the world or I'm wired for Christ. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. No matter what AG says, you know why? Because Romans chapter 8 says, do you not realize the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead? He now dwells inside of me. Brother, that power right there goes beyond artificial intelligence. And, that stuff is out there. I'm not denying it. But I want to tell you something. If Christ be in me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When I prayed for little children and they had holes in their heart and they closed, that's not because of something that a doctor did. That's because something God done. And so when we magnify God in our spirit, when we're fasting, we're praying, we're magnifying God, I want to tell you something. That anointing comes upon us, and it is more powerful than any technological knowledge of man. What does it say in Corinthians? Where is the wise men? Where is the scholars? It's the simple things of God that makes dumb and confound the things of the world, brother. We've got to magnify God because He's bigger than all of this.
Dale, it's like this. My little grandson, when he comes running down the hill sometimes, my wife has put a little jar full of, she put some string of Christmas lights in it, and maybe you guys have seen it, and then you plug it in, it's a light, and it lights up. And our little grandson, excuse me, has realized that light comes on when you plug the thing in. And every time he comes into the house, he goes over and plugs in that light. He plugs into the power.
We don't get it. He plugs into the power.
I get it, brother. I get it. Yep. My mind was once wired for this. Now my mind is wired for Christ.
And we're not being taught to be plugged into that power, buddy. That's just it. I don't know why I got a frog.
You're right.
Whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, think, plug into the power. Plug into the power. Because when the light comes on, you see things more clearly. Michelle, bring me something to drink. Wow. Got it. Man. Got a scratchy, and I'm not crying. Just my eyes are watering. Amen.
Well, you got to cook that frog before you eat it, you know.
Yeah, I do. I'll do that. Was I? He's scratching in there today. Man, that's a lot of deep.
Hey, Coach.
A lot of deep ones right here in my throat. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, John chapter 15 talks about that very thing. It talks about the vine and the branches.
John 15. Go ahead, John. Go ahead. You brought me a cough drop.
Says, I am the vine.
John 15. Let's go there real quickly. John 15. It's a good wife. I ask for water and she brings me the cough drop. John 15. Man. Oh, we have it up here? I'm sorry. What verse are you in, John?
John 15:1, start verse 1.
John 15:1. Go ahead, brother.
Says, I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit.
Amen.
You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Wow.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. My commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. Keep going.
You are my friends, and if you do whatsoever I command you, that's how you know if you're his friends.
Yep.
So, John, the point being, there's a connectivity.
Absolutely.
There's a connectivity.
Got to be plugged in.
Got to be plugged in, and the power is truth.
Amen.
Truth is the power. You know, Dylan was talking about going into the bookstore and all those guys looking for – everybody's on a search, aren't they? Everybody's on a search. And we Christians, we have dropped the ball because we have permitted – all faith and all opinions to be equal. And they're not, guys. There is one truth. And if you don't believe there's one truth, then you're not a believer. You're not a believer. If you think that the Jews are getting to heaven without Jesus, if you think the Muslims are, if you think the Hindus are, if you think everybody, every funeral that you go to, that everybody's going to heaven, that there's this universalism, brothers and sisters, then you're not a believer. You're just not a believer. And that's what's permeating our churches. That's the broad and the narrow. Yes. Go ahead. Somebody jump in. Well, I take a slug here in my water. I love my wife. Thanks, man. Okay, you don't have to. I got so much stuff to dump out there today, even though it is Friday. Even though it is. I came across it. I just got to show you a little bit. Just here's what I think is one of. Hey, Jared, get ready on it. Says, Bride of Christ, Jared. And it begins at 140. Because, guys, we're not going to watch a lot of this. I'm just going to introduce you to this, and then you need to watch it later on. Because this has been one of the biggest bugaboos. This comes back to this, in my mind. Whatsoever things are true. First thing he says, whatsoever things are true. And one of the themes, I think, of our show here is we're looking for the truth. We're looking for the truth. And Paul tells us whatever things are true. Think on this. Think on these things. So therefore, it is important for us to be bold enough to understand that we have been taught a lot of things about this book that are not true. And that causes people to have, see, people say, well, then you can't question the word of God. I'm not questioning the word of God. I'm questioning what somebody taught me about the word of God. That's what I'm questioning. I go to the Bible and say, listen, sorry, boys. It don't say that. It don't say that. Yeah, but so-and-so Brother Jones has been teaching that for 30 years. My mom and dad, they went there when they were kids. And the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. But that ain't true. I agree with you, but the Bible didn't say that. Brother Jones said that.
Amen.
When's the last time have you ever heard a pastor say, that is not what the Bible says? What you hear is, oh, you know, let's have unity, or, you know, he can have think, but seldom do you have anybody in the pulpit or on any radio say, that's not what is in the Bible.
Amen. You don't. And you know, Roger, I compare that to the exact same thing. Stay with me now. The release of this memo that's supposed to come out today. Isn't it amazing that just like our churches, the elected officials, they can read the memos and they can understand the truth, but we can't give it to you, you little people. Exactly. You'll never be able to understand, you little people. It's the same thing in church. The exact same thing in church. You can't, you little people, you can't. I've been to seminary. You guys can't do that. Well, it's just two different systems. Sorry. That have been co-opted by the enemy. They've been co-opted. And we're being denied the truth, which is right before us. So I'm going to play, I won't play this whole, I want you all to watch this later on though, because tell your pastor for me, would you do this? Would all of you please write a letter to your pastor or forward this video and say, Pastor, the church is not the bride of Christ. Church is not the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And the church, Jesus does not marry the church. I know we've been taught that, Pastor. I know that we have, but that just is not true. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Sit back, start this about 140. I don't know who this lady is. I was transfixed yesterday. I wanted to crawl into the screen and give her a big hug because she's saying, what I've been saying for 15 years, and people thought I was crazy. Go ahead, Jared.
Me, Miss Ashley, coming at you on a beautiful January day. And today I wanted to just give you a little sustenance. I'm working on an AI video that's taken a lot of time, but it's going to be awesome. But in the meantime, I wanted to keep some content coming, things that I feel like I've been shown to share. And this is it. So, this is going to be a little controversial, surprise, surprise, but it's something I feel like I've been shown very clearly, and I think that I'm being asked to show it to you because it's such a perfect example of how a very large portion of people can become deceived, and it's a really huge theme in end times prophecy, as you know, do not be deceived. This is a belief that very few people do I run into that do not have this belief of scripture, even though it's nowhere in it. And that is that you and I, and all believers, are the bride of Christ. Now, before you click away, hear me out. Because the purpose of this video is not to say you're wrong. It is to encourage all of us to stop taking the words of men as the word of God. That includes me, everything that I say. We are commanded to test, so test what I say as well. But I wanted to use this example because it so clearly illustrates how we can all have this belief about something, that we are the bride of Christ, even when it's not in Scripture. It's kind of astounding at such a high percentage of people absolutely take this as fact when it's not even in the Word. We were commanded to test all things, and that includes your pastors. Even though many pastors aren't doing it on purpose, they were taught wrongly, and so they're just passing on the wrong doctrine that they learned. And as the saying goes, the blind will lead the blind into a pit.
I think it's also a
very good point in the word to hone in on, because it doesn't really matter, you know, ultimately, if you believe you're the bride, and I believe that we're not, because it's not like a salvation issue, which is kind of hopefully a way to get in there and to talk about it, because it's actually not hard to prove or disprove. Yet most everyone is believing what their pastors told them rather than what the Word of God states. That's what this warning really is about. We must love the truth, especially in the days that are coming, or we will be led astray.
Whatever things are true,
you can be guaranteed that the churches will be implanting the mark of the beast. It's going to happen. So we have to be strong against that and have our own connection to truth and not just listen to what our pastors are saying automatically. So where did these pastors come up with this theory about us being the bride? Well, I'm going to read from the scriptures that most of them pull from, but I'm going to read them in their entirety, not just isolate scripture, which is how most people are led astray. So first, any of you who want to just pop onto Google or Bible Hub or wherever and put in the phrase bride of Christ, you will find it nowhere in Scripture. It does not exist. Bride of Jesus does not exist. However, Bride of the Lamb does exist, and it is in Revelation 21. And I would like to go ahead and read that, if I may. Now, I am going to read this out of an NIV, and I know that's not the optimal translation, but I have looked at it in the other translations as well, and there are no major discrepancies in this particular passage, so please feel free to look in your own translation of preference. In Revelation 21:9, we are going to read about the Bride of the Lamb. It says this: "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues came to me and said, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" Well, that sounds pretty specific, doesn't it? It goes on to say, Revelation 21:10, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at its sides. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure its city, the walls, and its gates. The city was laid out like a square." And it just goes on and on and on to give very great details about this city that was coming down out of heaven. It talks about the different precious stones that are the different foundations of the city. It talks about each gate being decorated with a pearl. The streets were made of gold, transparent as glass. And then I'm going to go on to the last chapter. There are no mention of any people at this point. Read through yourself to confirm. 21:22. "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God give its light, and the Lamb its lamp. The nations," now this is important, here it says, 24. Note this, when it was describing the city coming down, it used present tense. It said, "It shone with the glory of God. It had a great wall." Him describing it as it comes down. When he gets down to 22.
Go ahead and cut it off, because this is just so long and so in-depth. I encourage all of you. See, I believe that this is one of the great deceptions. And as we've said before on this show, if you go ask somebody to explain how you can be both the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, explain to somebody how that can be, they can't answer.
Amen, Coach.
And the reason they can't answer it is because it isn't there. It is not there. Now, I hate to tell you this. It goes back to part of the dispensationalism and John Darby and all the rapture and all that stuff is all wrapped up inside of it. And one of the things that we have been, how can Jesus marry himself if we are his body and the body has men and women? Let's just think through this a little bit. And so one of the issues that is of grave concern in my heart is the church has become identified as sheep. Sheep. Why isn't the church he? Because somewhere along the line, we've become convinced that we are the feminine body that's going to be connected with Jesus. And that's not what the scripture teaches. Okay, that's enough to throw at you on a Friday. We can make this video available for everybody, but you got to watch it with an open mind.
Amen, Coach.
You got to watch it with an open mind.
Amen.
And see, the bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem coming down that Christ marries and populates with the saints. The body of Christ populated. Ah, Lord. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. My wife's down there yelling at me. What's up, sweetheart? Hang on a second. Guys, hang on there with me. I want to pray right here. Just got a message here. My daughter Abby says I'm 7.5 weeks pregnant. She just lost a child. She lost a miscarriage in May. She says I'm 7.5 weeks pregnant. I've just been internalizing it and taking it in day by day. But this morning I had a little bit of pink spotting and I'm freaking out. I need prayers. I'm not sure I can go through this again. She says I haven't had an appointment or anything, so I have no idea what's going on. Pastor Dale, you there, Dale?
Jesus' name.
Are you there, Dale? I think maybe he had to check out and go. Oh, Jesus. I just ask you guys, join me in prayer? Lord, I just bring Abby before you today, Lord Jesus, that little precious little human being, Lord. We speak life into Abby, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that your healing power, whatever would be needed, whatever is required, that your will would be done. And your will would be that little baby would come forth whole. Mm. Lord, I pray that for the peace that passes all understanding to fall upon Abby, Lord Jesus. Mm. As we were just reading about today, Lord, that she will cling to you, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of a good report, that Abby will think on those things, Lord. Lord, you are the great giver of life. You are the great physician. And the Bible says that before you even formed that little seed inside Abby, you knew that little baby, Lord Jesus. We just pray for supernatural covering and protection and hedge around that precious little child.
Jesus' name.
Lord, we ask you that you would strengthen and encourage Abby. In Jesus' name. And Michelle, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. 7.5 weeks. See, and we don't. Just think about this a minute. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. You know what the Holy Spirit just said to me? This is my daughter, Abby, feels that life inside of her. Think how many women grieve who killed their babies when that happens to them. When this new life comes inside them and they feel that new life and then they're reminded of what they did. We wonder why our churches are so paralyzed and the truth of the gospel so hindered. Because we won't come into agreement with the Lord on the issue of life. A quasi-paganism that my body, my choice, my trouble. Man, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are holy, whatever things are of a good report, think on those things. So listen, this is selfish. Those of you who are out there who for joining us in this fast. Let that be a target of prayer. Our daughter Abby and that precious little child that's inside of her. I thank God for a family of two daughters that want to have babies. They want to have babies. Lord, you're the giver of life. We just thank you for that here today.
Yes.
Man, oh man, that's a powerful moment. Hey guys, God bless you, man. Groundhog, hope he doesn't see that shadow. Hope summer comes, winter, spring comes around here quickly. Be encouraged. Great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.